Ralph McLean.
Country.
On BBC Radio Ulster.
It's Ralph McLean Country on BBC Radio Ulster, hitting the road once again for our weekly trip down the highways and byways of American roots music in all its multicoloured glories. Great to have your company, as always. How are you? Hope you're hanging in there. It's been a tough old year, I know. We've lost many loved ones and people close to our collective hearts in the last 12 months. It has been a tough, tough time. I'm thinking right now of John Prine, taken by the virus a year back, thinking of Fiona and the Prine family tonight. To quote the great man himself, he was in heaven before he died. I'm going to start the show with this masterpiece from his final album, The Tree of Forgiveness. So raise a glass, please. Vodka and ginger ale, optional, to the master, Mr. John Prine. When I Get to Heaven.
When I get to heaven, I'm going to shake God's hand, thank him for more blessings than one man can stand. Then I'm going to get a guitar and start a rock and roll band. Check into a swell hotel. Ain't the afterlife grand? And then I'm gonna get a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm gonna smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long.
And I'm crazy for loving you.
It's Ralph McLean Country here on BBC Radio Ulster, coming to you from my music room here in the house. I hope you're enjoying the music tonight as we celebrate the 88th birthday of Willie Nelson. And that, of course, is Crazy Patsy Cline, but it is a Willie Nelson song. And you heard Willie's original demo for it as well just before that. And many years ago now, I had the enormous pleasure of interviewing Harold Bradley, the most recorded session guitarist in the world. And he plays in all those legendary sides from Patsy Cline, and he's all over those great Nashville hits. He plays on Crazy, and he showed me his sessions log, where he kept all the details of his sessions so that he could get paid. And he got paid a bit more for carrying your amp in, Harold told me. So if you brought your own amp in, you got a few extra dollars. But he was the man in demand. Everybody wanted Harold Bradley. And I asked Harold about playing on things like Patsy Cline's Crazy and playing on all these legendary country tracks. And I asked him who was the most difficult guy to record with. And he said he loved him dearly, but Willie Nelson. He said as a musician, it was so tough to play behind Willie because his phrasing was so different and so jazz and so out there. He said as a session man, he used to go, oh no, when it was a Willie Nelson session. Not in a bad way, in terms of Willie being a bad guy, just in terms of keeping up with Willie was not easy. Now, as a songwriter, Willie Nelson, of course, provided us with some of the great songs of all time, I would argue. This is one of them for me. Funny How Time Slips Away, and originally a hit for Billy Walker back in 1961. One of Willie's finest compositions for my money. There are great versions of this, I suggest. If you fancy a little diversion at some point, you could check out the likes of Georgie Fame's version, which is brilliant. Green on Red do a great version on their No Free Lunch EP. Al Green, together with Lyle Lovett, on an album called Rhythm, Country and Blues, which is brilliant. But this, of course, well, any excuse for me to play the King, Elvis Presley. Funny How Time Slips Away, as we pay tribute to Willie Nelson on the programme tonight. 88 today.
Well, hello there. My, it's been a long, long time.
I think we're great wind-ups in Northern Irish. We love a wind-up, we love a laugh, we love the crack. We love to see if you get it or not, you know what I mean? Part of being a wind-up is just to see, it's testing the water to see if people can take a joke. And if you're in good company, if people have got a good sense of humour, I'm with them, you know, and you've got to test them a wee bit. And if, you know, if they don't, then I just leave them alone. You know, if I'm winding you up, it's because I like you. If I'm not winding, if I'm treating you with respect, it's because I don't give a damn about you. You know,
fair enough. That explains a lot, Michael. That I'm now much clearer on our relationship. I know where you're at. Which leads us on nicely to Tom Waits. And Tom Waits for No Man, as I did a special show to Tom Waits a few years ago and called it that, and I was all pleased with myself. Oh. Tom Waits for No Man, you see, you hang out with all sorts of quality ideas for mixtapes.
I'd love a copy of that show, because I'm a massive Tom Waits fan. He's he carried me through all the dark days. You know, there's just something about, I used to think I drank like a Tom Waits song, you know what I mean? I had that.
Dear God, that's Michael, that's frightening.
But that's what the Soho years were for, you know, and that sort of sepia-tinged, you know, subterranean low life, you know, falling from bar to bar in a pork pie hat and a shiny black suit type thing, you know what I mean? Spilling over the side to anyone who'll listen, as Tom would say, you know.
The albums around that period are something else, aren't they? Those kind of island records are untouchable in many ways. Let's take it now. Tom Waits, Jockey Full of Bourbon. Dolly Parton, who else getting us started on tonight's very special show, a show dedicated to the wonderful world of female country artists. Down the decades, they have provided so many incredible country tracks, and we celebrate that legacy tonight. Stateside, there's been so many issues on recent times about female representation on country music radio. It seems outrageous that they even have to have the argument that it's unfair. It is crazy, and it's not something we've ever done here, and it's something we continue to champion here, is the amazing female talent out there, and giving it a platform on radio, well, it's just a natural thing, I think, and it shouldn't be something that has to be analysed. It should just be the way it is. And we celebrate that great lifelong love of female acts in country music tonight with an entirely country lineup, and that means all sorts of wonderful acts, from classic heritage acts, Alexa Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn, and real trailblazing females in the history of country music, and more modern names like Courtney Marie Andrews and Yola will be sharing the platform tonight as well, and Ashley McBride and Emmylou Harris, and more besides. So I hope you can stick around. More Dolly to come later on. It's our classic album tonight, is Little Sparrow from 2001. But let's bring it more or less up to date with one of the true stars of country music at the moment, Casey Musgraves. This is Follow Your Arrow.
But I was rich as I could be in my coat of many colors. My mama made for me, made just for me.
That's Dolly Parton and Coat of Many Colors, a song that I never tire of hearing. I read once that it's still your favorite song. It means so much to you. Is that still the case today? Does Coat of Many Colors still say a lot to you?
Yes, it does. And I think that will probably remain my favorite song, because Mom and Daddy are gone now, and it's just my childhood. I draw from that so much. But that little song is more about a philosophy, you know, about how we were and the kind of parents that I had, that we knew we didn't have any money, but that we were so rich in so many other things, because we did stay together as a family. We had love and kindness and understanding, and we had our hard times, like all families do. But there was just, you know, it's not about the money. It's not, you know, you can make money, but money can't make you. Money can't make a person, but a person can make money. So it's more about who you are and what you are and the love that you can get. So I'm sure that will remain my favorite.
What's the secret, Dolly? You still seem to have the same enthusiasm. Do you ever stop and think about it, or do you just kind of keep going?
I keep going.
And not dwell on why it works?
I keep going. People say, why ain't you getting old? I said, well, I don't have time to get old. I don't know what old means. And I don't ever want to retire. And I have a good attitude. I love my work. I love people. I love trying to find the good things in life. Oh, I'm very tender-hearted, like all we Irish people are.
Very. You find yourself sexy, getting very moved deep. Easily. Find yourself quite sentimental. That's
very,
an Irish
and
trip.
And the older you get, the more sentimental you get. Now it's like I even sing my own songs and start to cry. Sometimes on stage when I'm doing Coat of Many Colors, if my heart is just kind of heavier, if I'm thinking about Mom and Daddy being gone and just thinking how life ain't what it used to be, and although it's good, but sometimes I'll get caught up in telling the stories about Mom and Daddy on stage, and I'll start to cry, and I feel like, oh, I'm just such a sappy old woman now. But but I'm glad my heart is tender, and I've left it tender, and I never wanted to harden it. Even when I've had it broke, I'm not the kind that would just say, oh, I'll never love again. You know, I have to leave my heart open so I can write and so I can feel. And that's what makes me who I am. If, you know, that's why I can write and why I have to stay open. It's painful sometimes to stay so open and so, you know, sensitive toward things. But that's how it is, and that's how I choose to live and how I am. And that's why I guess people like me, too. They sense it. They know my heart is true and open.
You're listening to Ralph McLean Country here from the music room in my house, directly to where you are. And you'll have heard me raving, waxing lyrical about the incredible new album from Declan O'Rourke. And it's called Arrivals, produced by Paul Weller in his Black Barn Studios in Surrey. I think it's the best thing that Declan's ever done, and I've been an admirer of just about everything that the man has put onto disc. I love this. It's storytelling of the very highest caliber. It's heartbreaking at times. It just grabs you with its turn of phrase. It's just beautiful. I'm going to play a special session track that Declan recorded for me of one of the standout tracks on Arrivals. It's my album of the year. You may want to disagree. Get in touch via the socials, of course. Debate is good on such things, but for me, at this stage of the year, it's my favourite release of 2021. It's just beautiful. This is a great example of the magic within this album. This is Declan O'Rourke with a special session recording of The Harbour.
Johnny cooks a steak from Little's on a Friday night, after spending all the week long working hard laying tiles. Tells me she made me feel so used, but I leave all that behind. See, I was making real good money then, I had 10 men laying tiles. And he's standing in the doorway of our little kitchenette, puffing on one of these new crazed electric cigarettes. I imagine he must get lonely, but if he does, he keeps it all in jail. But when you're guarding a prison, how do you choose what to pay?
This is BBC Radio Ulster. Now, John Martin was a man of huge contradictions, a free-spirited jazzer tagged by many as a folk artist, a deeply sensitive player who could pen spiritually moving music like few others. He was also a boorish and thuggish character to family, friends and public alike very often, given to vast mood swings that could take him from the doe-eyed Glaswegian charmer to the edgy, almost farcical Cockney villain of his fantasies. Small Hours is the beautifully balanced new biography of the man and his music, and author Graham Thompson joins me on the line now. Graham, I suppose the term complex character, it barely covers it for John, doesn't it?
Yes, that's very true. He was an interesting bunch of guys, I think. I should say, you know, ranged from the, well, we can hear it in the music. You can hear how much heart and soul and beauty and vulnerability he had in his personality by listening to the songs. But you also have this kind of divine rage, this absolute extreme side on the other side of the spectrum, which was incredibly destructive and incredibly violent and aggressive. And you can hear that in the music too, I think.
Your path crossed with John on a few occasions in a journalistic sense, but what, from a personal point of view, made you want to get behind that multifaceted beast and beauty that is John Martin?
Well, you know, I think it always starts with the music, and the music is so unique. You know, I do think it's unique. I don't think there's anyone else who sounded ever like John Martin. You know, people still who haven't heard him before are kind of astonished when they stumble upon him. Because it's just, and it is indefinable. You know, he started in the folk movement, and then it's jazz and it's dub and it's all this stuff. So I think the music grabs you first, and then meeting him. You know, I was charmed by him, as many people were. He was a very charismatic guy, even at, you know, towards the end of his life, when he was clearly negotiating lots of quite heavy problems in his life. You know, he was still a very charming, intelligent, charismatic, creative person. And yet I was also very much aware of that other side, and it didn't lurk that far below the surface. You know, you did see that side of him quite quickly.
The reality of it is in those songs, though, isn't it? The sensitivity and the spirituality. It's in the songs, whether he wanted us to see it
too much or not, it's there, isn't it? And I suppose that's what you can always go back to. If we turn to the real high water mark, that kind of early 70s period where John could do no wrong, the next track we're going to hear is May You Never, which I suppose to the casual observer is the John Martin theme. He was fairly ambivalent about it, wasn't he?
He was. He said many times that he hated that record. I think he felt it was rushed and it wasn't, you know, it didn't come out the way he envisaged it. But I think it speaks of him and constantly kind of being dissatisfied. And yeah, he called it a lollipop to me. It was like a little treat for the audience, you know. But he didn't think very much of it. But Richard Thompson, who I interviewed for the book, calls it an anthem. You know, he said it could be in a hymn book. It's a very beautiful piece of writing, communal writing. You know, it's useful. It serves a purpose, I think, when you hear that song. It's comforting.
Hi, this is Chris Christopherson, and you listen to McLean's Country.
You're very welcome to the program. It's Ralph McLean Country and a very special edition of the show for you tonight, coming to you from the music room here in my house, directly to where you are. It's wonderful to have your company this evening, because tonight we pay tribute to Chris Christopherson, who has announced his retirement from public life. A well-deserved break for one of the true greats, I think, and what a musical legacy he's left us to savour and enjoy, and we're going to do that tonight. I threw it open to you guys on social media and through all the platforms to pick your favourite Christopherson songs, and you've done a sterling job, I have to say. Some amazing tracks to pick for you tonight, starting with Me and Bobby McGee. So many people asking for this. Stuart Chalmers, listening in Fife, asked for this particular one, means a lot to him as well. Orla Harris and Norman Nabney, Trevor McGee, Myra Hardy, amongst others, asking for Me and Bobby McGee. Quite a few asking for the Janis Joplin version. We'll try to squeeze it in later on. Tonight is all about Chris Christopherson and the wonder of his songs. Norman sends a lovely email to say, Me and Bobby McGee's got to be my choice. It might not be my absolute favourite Chris Christopherson song, was the one with the best story. He says, my oldest daughter Sarah, when she was tiny, she just hated bath time. The soap got in her eyes. It was always a big fight, says Norman. I used to sing to her. And if you think Chris Christopherson has an unusual voice, you should hear me. He says, whenever she was upset, she would go through the tears and say, Daddy, sing me and Bobby Mickey. And that inevitably did the trick. And it's one of her earliest memories. So you can see why it means a lot to Norman. Me and Bobby McGee, or Bobby Mickey, as it's known in that particular family. So many great songs, so many game-changing songs, I think, to play for you tonight. So we're going to crack on with one that I think was probably the most requested from all your comments and all your suggestions. This is for loads of people, for Colin Rainey, for Susie Coyle, for Jackie Neal, for Kevin Hughes, for Martin Dern, and Matt McGinn asked for this, actually, Phil Hooley, Margot Carr, Anya McParland, Bob Bennett, and loads more. I'll squeeze more in as the evening progresses, and just read out the names, because this track was so loved by you guys when you were picking your favourite Christopherson tunes. We're going to hear it from the great Johnny Cash, good friend of Chris. This was a big breakthrough for Christopherson as a songwriter, to get this covered by Johnny Cash, and it is arguably the greatest Christopherson song, I would say. So dig out your cleanest dirty shirt and enjoy Sunday Morning Coming Down, Johnny Cash version.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. That didn't hurt,